In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Yeah. Let's all go to the lobby. Time to talk movies on Pass the Popcorn, brought to you by the Bangor Drive-In and Bangor Mall Cinema 10. Alan Adams from The Main Edge joins us, as he do each Monday. Hello, Alan.
Hello, how are you?
Wonderful, thanks. Yourself?
Oh, I'm good.
How'd that weekend thing treat you?
That was pretty nice, man. It was pretty lovely out there. So it was nice to sort of get out and about. Did some things. I went a couple of buddies of mine and I played in a charity disc golf tournament on Saturday. That was a lot of fun. And then yesterday we made our way down Ellsworth Way and met my in-laws at the sort of halfway point to meet up, have some lunch, and we hadn't seen those guys in a while, so we were able to have a nice outdoor, socially distant and otherwise responsible lunchtime. So that was really nice.
Nice, isn't it beautiful down that way? I went down to Soamesville to see my in-laws on Saturday, and boy, going through the hills there in Dedham and into Ellsworth, absolutely beautiful.
Well, yeah, and it's like, and I mean, it just, I don't know, it just must have just snuck up on me, but man, I feel like the foliage is early. Like, it was, we were out there, and it was just gorgeous.
Yeah, beautiful weekend indeed, and hopefully more of it to come. By the way, I don't know if you heard it, but thanks largely to you and you talking about the film last week, we had Jules Vincent on talking about Alive.
I did, yeah. No, I was listening while I was waiting for the segment to start. So I, he seems like a pretty good dude, and it was so funny listening to you talk, because again, like, there are certain ways you need to talk about this movie, because
yes.
you could let some stuff slip, and that really drastically alters how you're going to experience things. But it's like I thought it was very observant of you to sort of note the many sorts of winks and nods towards the various horror classics that they really embraced. I mean, from the title on down, you know what I
yeah.
mean?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Just, I took note of it because it was something that I paid special attention to in my review, was him talking about Mr. McFadden as his villain. Because I couldn't imagine a better choice for that sort of, you know, baddie in a movie like that. But it's just, it's great to hear a story like that where a guy, really goes for it. Like, decides, you know what, this is what I'm going to do, so I'm going to pack up the truck and move to Beverly.
Yeah, well, good for him. And the movie, man, the movie is terrific. I really enjoyed it, and glad you pointed it out to us.
Oh, I'm glad that it all worked out. Nice. Like, it was just, it's wonderful, and I'm you know this as well as I do. There's you hear from a lot of people pushing a lot of stuff, and it can be sometimes a little overwhelming to try to sift through it all. And it's stuff like that where you're just like, you're reminded of why you take the time, because those are the things that you uncover when you really start looking around. And I was really happy to get a chance to see the movie and to get a chance to sort of share my thoughts and spread the word, because I do think I thought it was an excellent movie, and they deserve all the credit in the world for making it happen.
All right, what have you got for us this week?
Just a couple this week. It was actually a pretty sparse movie weekend, but I did get to do a couple. A couple of streaming offerings, both oriented more towards the younger set. I'll let you pick. We've got from Disney Plus, we've got Secret Society of Second Born Royals.
Mm-hmm.
And from Netflix, we have Enola Holmes.
Ooh, well, I want to hear more about Enola Holmes. So let's start with the Disney film, and then we'll hear about Enola.
Yeah, and that's. You've more or less echoed my feelings about the whole situation. So Secret Society of Second Born Royals, put it this way. There are a few things that Disney is known for. One thing that they're known for is princesses. You know, I mean, not every Disney movie has princesses in it, but there are enough where it's like, okay, so that's clearly a thing. And another thing that Disney is known for, they haven't been known for it quite as long, but now that they are a massive multi-billion dollar conglomerate, entertainment-wise, they are now the stewards of, among other properties, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And so superheroes are definitely under the Disney umbrella as well. So it only stands to reason, Rich, that at some point they were going to bring those two together. And that's what we get with Secret Society of Secondborn Royals. Essentially, it's an effort to sort of mash up the superhero genre with the sort of company-wide love of princesses, plucking elements from both genres and blending them together. The result of that blend is something that is, we'll just call it inoffensive, Rich. It's smooth. It'll go down easy, and you will promptly forget all about it. I should note, like, it's for what it is, it's a relatively successful effort. It has its charms. The production values are a little on the iffy side, but kids are going to dig it, and parents will potentially tolerate it. Ultimately, it's a movie that it's not good enough to care about or bad enough to avoid. So it's basically I refer to it as an adequate time passer. Sometimes that's all you're looking for. But the gist is, we have a young lady named Sam, played by Peyton Elizabeth Lee. She is a princess in the tiny European country of Illyria. She is the second daughter. Her older sister, Eleanor, played by Ashley Lau, is about to assume the throne on her 18th birthday, just a few weeks away. Their mother is the queen, Queen Catherine, played by the excellent Elodie Young, who had assumed the throne herself following the tragic death of her husband and brother-in-law in a plane crash years ago. Now, Sam's a rebel. Like, she pushes back against the very idea of the monarchy. She's in a band with her best friend, Mike, who happens to be the son of the groundskeeper, because that's a thing that happens. And she also goes to a school that's inexplicably in the tiniest country in Europe. There's a high school, which is where all the children of royal families go, again, for some reason. She is struggling. She gets into some trouble and winds up having to go to summer school. And she meets her class. There's a social media obsessive named Roxana, like a sweet-natured girl named January. A big talking kid named Tuma and a wallflower named Mateo, and they're all in a class together. But they meet their teacher, James, played by Skylar Astin, and that's when they learn, Rich, this is not your typical summer school. This is where we learn that apparently all second-born royals are gifted with superpowers. Yes, that's right. If you're born second in the royal family, you have superpowers, and it's his job to help the new recruits discover and control those powers so they might become members of the titular Secret Society of Secondborn Royals, a secret team dedicated to protecting the world from unseen dangers.
Wow.
But yeah, and then we have an escape from a mysterious, unnamed superpowered figure who has big plans for terrible things, and the kids have to figure out their powers and come together as a team if they're going to have any chance of stopping them, the bad guy and whatnot. And that's pretty much how it goes. There's nothing really surprising here. Like, basically it's, the biggest surprise is that it took this long for this sort of, superhero princess thing to be put forward by the Disney machine. It's formulaic, paint by numbers, very simple and straightforward, easily digested, structured to allow for multiple viewings by young viewers, and for potentially multiple installments. So basically what you've got here is a low-risk effort to establish a franchise. I mean, if you're looking for high quality, like, you're going to want to look somewhere else. But ultimately, like, it's fine. It's okay. Like, kids of a certain age might well really embrace it, certainly enough to warrant the sequels that are, frankly, almost certainly in production as we speak.
Yeah. All right. Well, from that, let's go to the one I'm much more curious to hear about, Millie Bobby Brown, from Stranger Things now to Enola Holmes.
You know, and it's funny because it's weird how this sometimes works out, because a lot of the things I just said in a derogatory way about that previous movie, I could also say in a complimentary way about this one. You know, it's like, okay, so Sherlock Holmes, like, we've been getting Sherlock Holmes stories for 100 years, whether it's Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's original stories or the multitude of stage and screen adaptations. One such stage adaptation you and I shared on the stage of the Bangor Opera House.
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, these many years ago. But yeah, we've seen a multitude of these adaptations over the decades. You know, and it makes sense. Like, it's a character that's very much beloved by audiences. But the deal with when you have a character like this who's so beloved and who has been, you know, sort of visited so many times, it's really tough to find new ways to bring that character to life. Like, we've just seen so many iterations. Like, you just wonder how it's possible to breathe any sort of new life into the kind of Holmesian mythos. And what this movie basically posits is, well, what if he had a little sister? Which sounds so simple. But, you know, but Enola Holmes, which is currently streaming on Netflix, that's basically what it gives you. It's based on the first book in a series of young adult novels by a woman named Nancy Springer. And it basically introduces us to the titular Enola Holmes. She's, you know, a teenage girl whose intellectual gifts are comparable to those of her far more famous, much older brothers. Yeah, and it's, Rich, it's so much fun. Man, like, there's just this wonderful charm to it, like an underlying wholesomeness that's really appealing. Like, even when it sort of veers into the realm of being, like, actually, like, legitimately, like, corny, but it's corny in a fun way. Like, it's goofy, and plus it has a very healthy sprinkling of empowerment ideas for young ladies, an absolutely first-rate collection of supporting talent, and let's be real, and you mentioned her at the top, man. Millie Bobby Brown is a star. Like,
she's
great. A straight up star. Yep. And she's wonderful in this movie. Like, she's incredibly talented. And she does a great job of basically just shouldering the load and carrying this movie. And I mean, she's a kid, she's a teenager. To be able to do that at her age, it so easily is just remarkable. The basic gist. Enola Holmes, her father had passed away many years previous, so it's basically been just her and her mother, Eudoria, played by Helena Bonham Carter, because, yeah, Helena Bonham Carter's here, who basically raised her alone in a manner, like, far different from the usual, like, young English gentlewoman. She's brilliant, she's a free thinker, and her mom basically spent as much time, like, teaching her, like, jujitsu and playing tennis in the parlor as they ever did with any sort of traditional schooling. So she's a very unique individual for that time and place. But on the morning of her 16th birthday, Enola wakes up and her mom is gone. There's no note. There's nothing. And that disappearance means that her long absent sons have to return and deal with everything, including Enola. And those are the names that you know, Mycroft and Sherlock. And so Mycroft is played by Sam Claflin, who's wonderful. And man, in a long history of sexy Sherlocks, I don't know that we've ever had a sexier one than Henry Cavill, because he's great in this. But yeah, they show up, and Mycroft decides, because he's the older brother, and so he's basically the sort of executor of all this, decides that she's got to go to finishing school. And in an effort to maybe sort of tame some of the wildness out of Enola. Meanwhile, a sort of bemused Sherlock is just like, he's just being Sherlock. But Enola, in the course of all of this, unearths some clues as to her mother's potential whereabouts. And so she flees the estate. She runs and... while on the run, she winds up encountering another young person attempting to avoid his own unwanted fate. young man by the name of Tewksbury, played by Lewis Partridge, he's a young nobleman with very little interest in venturing into the world that his family expects him to venture into, like the House of Lords and that whole shebang. And his very wealthy family is sparing no expense to sort of track him down. And so he and Enola wind up sort of entangled, and she winds up helping to rescue him from his mysterious pursuers before heading her own direction. She lands in London and very quickly learns that there is far more to her mother's disappearance than she ever could have guessed. She's facing unanticipated dangers as she's trying to track her mom down while also avoiding detection by either of her brothers, one of whom is literally the greatest detective in the world. So she's wrapped, and then before you know it, she's wrapped up in a conspiracy, reaching the very highest levels with nothing but her wits to protect her. But fortunately for young Enola, her wits are formidable indeed. Yeah, it's a delight, man. Like, we really enjoyed watching this movie. It's frothy, it's fun, and the thing that I really dug about it, it's a very rare movie that can be genuinely engaging to all ages. Like, it's obviously aimed at the sort of younger audience that consumed the source material, but it's more than capable of entertaining viewers, older viewers as well. Thanks to, the narrative is really well crafted. Some surprisingly good action sequences, some good fight scenes. There are a lot of laughs. Some moments of real pathos, and a wonderful commitment to a sort of Fleabag-esque fourth wall breaking on the part of Enola. It's just so funny and so charming and so well done, across the board, with a wonderful sort of level of meta awareness that just makes you all the more engaged. For those who are, and it should be noted, this is also a movie that is very clearly setting the stage for potential sequels. Netflix has made their interest in franchise development pretty clear in recent years, so that's no surprise. And there are 6 books in this series, so there's plenty of material still on the table as far as adaptation. And the truth is, as far as franchises go, you could do a heck of a lot worse. This is a smart, strong female character who is capable and clever, and is also, just by the way, attached to one of the best young actors in Hollywood right now. So, there's a potential for this thing to really prove to be a massive ongoing success for Netflix. It should be noted, this is also a film, and I have to mention it just because I find it so ridiculous. The film is also the subject of a lawsuit. We're going to go slow here because this is kind of nuts. Okay, so the character of Sherlock Holmes is in the public domain, but not all of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's stories featuring that character are, which leaves a little bit of a gray area. And that gray area is where the Doyle estate found reason to file suits of trademark and copyright infringement against these filmmakers, claiming that the depiction of Sherlock Holmes in this movie infringes on the character as he exists in the stories not yet in the public domain, specifically because he has emotions. Not any sort of specific emotions. They're saying if Sherlock Holmes feels feelings, that is copyrighted behavior. And so, do with that information what you will. It sounds ludicrous to me, but I don't really understand how all that law stuff works. So maybe they have a case. It sounds like nonsense to me. Right. Anyway.
We'll just watch it and enjoy it either way.
Yes. And like I was saying, Millie Bobby Brown is great. She is great. She is, there's a wonderful sort of mercurial quality about her. She's got this great energy. She's legitimately charismatic. With a real screen presence. She shares the screen with these massive talents. And it's not even that she holds her own. It's like she shines. We're talking about, Henry Cavill and Sam Claflin, both of whom are great. Helena Bonham Carter's not in it a ton, but, she manages to really hold it down in the few scenes that she appears in. And the rest of the cast, too. It's a really well-cast, well-made movie, And yeah, anyone who's a fan of the Sherlock Holmes stories is going to find a lot to like in Enola Holmes.
Excellent. Looking forward to seeing it. Alan, we thank you as always. Hope the rest of your week goes well, and we'll visit again next Monday.
Sounds good to me, man.
Thanks, Al.